Season 4, Episode 73. I'm back after about 3 weeks of a little hiatus. Okay, two of those weeks I spent in Ireland and Scotland. I did not wear nor buy a kilt, my biggest regret. Although I did eat haggis and blood pudding, or black pudding, whichever way you want to call it. I slept in a castle. I met a man living in a hobbit house. I saw Loch Lomond, but did not see the Loch Ness Monster. And I saw one of those little red phone booths that you see on Doctor Who, but didn't see Doctor Who. But overall, it was a pretty good trip. My recommendation, Banoffee pie. You've got to find the recipe for Banoffee pie. I'm telling you, that's my new favorite dessert. You know, it's fantastic. It's like banana cream pie, but then add a layer of like caramel toffee sweetness. Top it off with a little chocolate and almonds. And folks, you've got something that would make a puppy pull a freight train. So, and by the way, I saw just as much stupidity in Ireland and Scotland as we have in this country. Well, maybe not as much. But I think our country is more stupider. And if you don't believe me, keep listening.
All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. St. Eric Lane, and welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get five-star stupidity for you. So give it a five-star rating, and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. And I just might even send you some vacation photos if you ask me. I've got plenty of them. It's glad to be back in the old podcast chair with a bonus episode here for your midweek. Yes, and trust me, the 2 weeks that I was on hiatus, traveling to Ireland and Scotland, the stupidity just backlogged. And I did see a few instances of stupidity in both of those countries as well, mainly from the drivers. Yeah, some really stupidity, especially on the Scottish motorway. So it's at least refreshing to know that there are just as many idiot drivers on the road in Scotland as there are in the United States. So we're we can count ourselves among the masses, I guess, right? So, yeah, well, so let's get wrapped up here on my little vacation trip. I did have a chance to come back and spend a couple of days detoxing from the haggis and blood pudding that I've been eating for 2 weeks, which, by the way, was actually pretty tasty, okay? As my dad used to say, that kind of food would stick to your ribs. Of course, it would probably stick to everything else on the way down. But nevertheless, it was a very hearty meal that I had. Of course, my wife would say, have all the haggis and blood pudding you want. You're still going to brush your teeth before you kiss me. So, but at any rate, one of the things that we noticed when we were over in Ireland and Scotland, aside from the fact that the towns and places were much cleaner. They didn't really have that many trash cans around because they didn't have that much trash to throw away. But we did eat out at several of the restaurants, and I've got me a new favorite dessert. It's called Banoffee pie. It's spelled Banoffee. It's apparently very popular in Great Britain. It's basically like a banana cream pie with some caramel toffee included and drizzled with chocolate and almonds. It is to die for. Yes. But one of the things we noticed in the restaurants, nobody tips. No tipping in the restaurant. I'm serious. They just don't tip. Apparently because I guess they get enough to get, I guess they make enough money in the restaurants, they don't need tips, which was kind of a nice break, because as soon as we got back to the U.S., yeah, we, you know, had to go to the store, and we got prompted to tip at the little computer screens that we put our card in. Yeah. I think the new hot term in the U.S. now is tipping fatigue. I think we're just all sick of constantly being asked to leave a tip, especially in situations where it used to be considered a bit weird. In fact, the Wall Street Journal did a big write-up on how we're even being asked to leave tips at self-checkouts now. Yeah, they talked to a few people who recently encountered the prompts, and here's just a couple examples. Somebody bought a $6 bottle of water at a self-checkout kiosk at the Newark Airport. We flew into the Newark Liberty Airport. I didn't buy any bottled water, but I did see where you could get the bottled water. So they buy a $6 bottle water at a self-checkout kiosk, and it asks them if they wanted to leave a 10 or a 20% tip. They said it felt like emotional blackmail. There was a story of a baseball fan that grabbed a beer from a self-service fridge at Petco Park in San Diego, and it asked him to leave a tip. He said he was a bit confused because he didn't really know where the money was going or to whom it was going to, but he still left a 20% tip. Both organizations said the money does go to the employees, but it just kind of feels weird to leave a tip when you didn't actually interact with any employees. I think maybe we need to take a few lessons from our friends in Ireland and Scotland. And on many levels, actually. But nevertheless, here is a man, well, first off, before I tell you about this guy, let me just tell you, we did eat well. I mean, the breakfasts in Scotland and Ireland, they had a lot. Now, let me just see if I can remember everything on my plate. We had, obviously, egg. You could have eggs scrambled or fried. And when they say fried, it's fried, okay? Okay, no runniness at all. It's a fried egg. Then you've got your, like, it's like a pita bread kind of thing. Then they've got your brown bread that's not like, it's like a wheat bread, but it's denser. They had brown bread with everything and jam and butter. And then they had the link sausage. They had the what's called a square sausage, which wasn't that bad. And then they had in Scotland or in Ireland, they had both black pudding and white pudding. Now, black pudding, otherwise commonly known as blood pudding. Yes, it's made with pig's blood. Actually tasted pretty good, kind of like a, you know, Jimmy Dean sausage or something, except it kind of crumbled apart when you try to eat it. But it was good. I mixed it with my eggs. It was pretty decent. But if you didn't like the idea of having pig's blood in your breakfast, then you can have the white pudding, which is basically the same thing without the blood. So you had that. Then in Scotland, you had haggis. Of course, they had haggis for breakfast and haggis for lunch and haggis for dinner. They had haggis all the time. And if you don't know what haggis is, look it up. Maybe you better not. Unless, of course, you've got a strong constitution. But then with that, they also give you like a grilled tomato. It could be like a grilled cherry tomato, or it could be a grilled quarter slice of a tomato. It was really tasty. Okay. And let me see. Anything else that I can think of? I think that's pretty much it. You were stuffed by the time you're finished with this breakfast. Okay. And I know between that and the desserts, they had sticky toffee pudding, which is to die for. Absolutely fantastic. Now, the pudding, let me just explain. The pudding over there is not like what we have here. Pudding over there is more like either like it's a consistency of a patty, like a meat patty or a cake or something. They call that pudding. What we would consider to be pudding, they call custard. So this makes sure we get the terms and definitions right. So, but nevertheless, I mean, after eating all this stuff, I mean, the desserts, the breakfasts, you know, everything. It was, I'm pretty sure I put on a few extra pounds. Not that it would bother me that much. But here's a man in Spain. Let's just say he put on a lot of pounds. So many pounds that it became difficult to bury him when he died. So this family in Spain is trying to bury their 650-pound relative. And, well, they ran into a slight problem. They ended up waiting for hours to bury this 28-year-old relative because his coffin didn't fit into the designated cemetery plot. His name is Jose Antonio. He died of complications during weight loss surgery. Now, family members insisted his final resting place be next to his late mother, who passed away the previous month. Relatives say they informed the funeral company and the authorities there at Matagorda of the special circumstances beforehand they were told about. The brother of the deceased, his name is Alejandro Cortez, told a Spanish TV channel, Antena 3, that the family knew immediately the coffin was too big for the allotted space. According to the translator, they said that we said from the very first hour that this was not possible. The family tried to buy a second plot, but Cortez said that they were told not by law. According to the funeral home, they told him that to either behave well or they would send them a couple of officers from the police and the civil guard if they did not behave themselves because they were not happy about the size of the hole to bury their relative. One of the family members said, "We weren't asked for anything bad. We were only asking for a decent burial." But at the burial, the family reported waiting 4 hours for a solution. So the fire department eventually was called to make the grave bigger. They chipped away at the sides with an electric hammer and a chisel for over an hour until they were able to squeeze the coffin into the ground. Now, distressing burials are really not that uncommon. In fact, in this country, a New Jersey family filed a $50 million lawsuit after funeral home workers allegedly put the wrong woman in their mother's casket and then jerked out the container from the grave in front of the shocked mourners. Also, there was an outraged family that accused a Brooklyn funeral home of mishandling their loved one's body so poorly that, quote, "she looked like a mud monster the day of her wake." Definitely, that's not the way you want to go. I think cremation is starting to look more and more appealing, you know? Well, that's definitely kind of gross, but here's something that's definitely gross. Nose picking. Yeah, that's definitely a kind of a gross habit. If you're going to indulge in it, you know, mainly do it in private or make sure there's at least a nearby tissue so that it's not so utterly disgusting. But there was one man who realized the sight of his wife's nose picking wipings was so horrified he felt like that he had no choice but to out her on social media. He said that he noticed her picking her nose while she was driving in their car, and he was a passenger. This is the car she drives. But he said he'd never seen her dispose of her nose goblins. So when he takes a closer look at the steering wheel, he was mortified. He captioned the picture, which showed snot all over the wheel. Quote, "I've watched my partner pick her nose while she drives, but never made the connection of where she wipes her snot until I drove her car." The picture, which was posted on the Reddit thread Mildly Infuriating forum, showed a steering wheel covered in crusty snot, and people were left feeling a little bit queasy in the comments. One commented, "That's not mildly infuriating, that's effing nasty." One other Redditor joked, "That's not funny." And another one hilariously wrote, "Snot wheels," in reference to the Hot Wheels toy cars for kids. One grossed out commenter said, "I can only imagine how her place of residence looks. Good Lord." Now, some people defended the woman, however, suggesting that other Redditors should cut her some slack. Somebody said, "As someone that has dated a lot in my life, the worst thing she does is having snot on the steering wheel that you hardly have to even use. I'd still say she's a keeper." Just don't drive her car. That's what I would say. Ugh. Okay. Well, that's definitely disgusting, at least to try to even see or even try to comprehend. But there is also the disgusting habit of very loud lovemaking, especially when you're trying to sleep. Yes, we've had these kind of stories before. And we have one where a woman living next door to a pair of very loved-up neighbors has been forced to take some drastic action after their bedroom noise kept her up all night long. Rather keen to the couple to tone things down a notch or two while trying to keep things on good terms, this sleep-deprived girl, her name is Allie, she decided to present her neighbors with a friendly reminder letter explaining the extent to which their amorous bedroom antics were affecting her day and her night. So the 23-year-old also threw in a couple of beers as a leave-offering bargaining chip, pleading with their neighbors to please move their extremely active bed to the other side of the bedroom. A very tired Allie, who happens to live in Yukon, Canada, shared a screen grab of the polite yet firm letter on Twitter, where she goes by the username at Dorian Van Sera, explaining to her followers that she could no longer put up with their bedroom noises. Now, this is what the letter said. "Hey, neighbors. Just a friendly reminder that the walls between our houses are much thinner than you might think. Congrats to you guys for your apparently very healthy sex life. Seriously, good for you. However, I would prefer not to be a part of it. And I'm sure you'd both prefer that as well. Now, I applaud you both for your stamina. However, it's gotten to the point that it's interfering with my sleep schedule, so I figured it was time to say something. Please accept these beers as a leave offering slash bargaining chip. I was hoping they might be enough to persuade you to maybe move your bed to the other side of the room. Sincerely, your neighbor's in 83, specifically the one that shares a bedroom wall with you." Well, thankfully, it would appear that Allie's extremely polite approach did the trick, giving hope to those with noisy neighbors everywhere. In an eagerly awaited update from her for her followers, Allie announced, "Guys, I think they moved the bed." The man in question constantly clears his throat, and it sounds much further away than it did previously. "This is very good." Well, see there, a little politeness will help prevent some stupidity, you know? But we have a story of one very polite driver that caused a multi-vehicle crash after stopping on a busy Florida highway to politely help to escort a turtle cross the road, according to dash cam footage released by police. Now, the crash, which included a semi-truck, happened on US 331 in Walton County, according to the Walton County Sheriff's Office. Now, they say we can all do better to protect the wildlife and natural inhabitants of our great state, according to what the sheriff's office said in a statement. Just preferably not in the middle of the road. The sheriff's office released dash cam footage from a truck involved in the crash, which shows the moment the driver was unable to brake in time as he approached several cars that were stopped ahead of him. A gray car cuts the truck off as he tries to avoid hitting another vehicle ahead. The truck sideswiped the gray car and nearly ran off the side of the road before cutting back and hitting the side of a black pickup. Now, there was no serious injuries in the incident. And the sheriff's department said, while no ill intentions were meant, trying to avoid or assist an animal who has made its way onto a busy road can cause you or other drivers life-threatening injuries. So, when you come across this predicament in the future and find yourself asking to swerve or not to swerve or to stop and protect, we hope the answer will now be an obvious one, according to what the sheriff's office posted. Police said the turtle survived and was relocated to a pond where it will hopefully live happily ever after. So if you're going to be kind to the animals, please don't be stupid. Well, this girl is devilishly decked out, you might say. Literally. We got the tattooed eyeballs, the fanged teeth, the split tongue. That's just a few of the costly cosmetic procedures OnlyFans model Kirsten Milligan has undergone in an effort to spice up her look. In fact, the 24-year-old ghoulish glamour girl has shelled out over $64,000 on extreme body modifications, transforming herself into what many have likened to a horned hell dweller, much like the guy who's been called Satan since he cut off his nose and the cocky couple covered in 91 tattoos. Milligan from Houston, Texas, tells Cater's News, "Most people think I'm demonic. I have modified my body in many ways." Now, Milligan, who before photos reveal a much more demure girl next door visage, goes on to say, "I have tattoos everywhere, including my eyeballs, a split tongue, fanged teeth, lipo 360, and two breast augmentations." Milligan is a professional tattoo artist. She began first altering her appearance as a minor. She got her inaugural tat at the young age of 14. Since then, the untamable brunette has become almost unrecognizable to her loved ones, who Milligan said have grown to embrace her wild style. She says, "My family and friends are very supportive of anything I want to do, but initially they were shocked, but they're used to it now." Strangers on the street, though, have some mixed reactions to the Brazen Bell's unconventional style. "The reactions I've gotten since I started sharing my journey online are 50-50, she says, kind of 50-50 love-hate, but I just don't let it get to me. Now, Milligan adds that fans of her unblushing panache often stop her for a picture, but when it comes to judgmental haters who will occasionally attempt to shame her with an ugly look, the inked diva says she happily ignores the shade. She says, "People think that I have no family or money. They put all these stereotypes on me, and I just shut them all down." And despite already making drastic revisions to her mien, Miss Milligan said her physical reconstruction is nowhere near finished, regardless of the pangs of change. She says, "The most painful modification was my tongue being split. It makes getting tattooed seem like a piece of cake. I plan to tattoo more of my body and possibly get more surgeries." So, more surprises await. Yeah, definitely kind of a grossed out girl, if you're into that kind of thing. What about grossed out food? Now, a lot of people think maybe the blood pudding thing and the haggis thing was a bit gross, but does this sound like a good mashup, or would it be a hard pass? The folks at Velveeta was selling cheese-filled chocolate. They partnered with a gourmet candy company called Compartes. Now, these cheese-filled chocolates are available online while supplies last, so it's a limited-time-only thing, and they're probably already sold out. They're called Velveeta Chocolate Truffles. Each one is shaped like the Velveeta shells and cheese pasta, but they're not cheap. A box of five. That's right, five. Will set you back $25. Now, they're filled with the same stuff that comes in boxes of their mac and cheese. So they went with a cheese sauce, not the old school bricks of Velveeta. If the cheese is not a deal breaker for you, this might be. The shells are white chocolate, not milk chocolate. They use food coloring to make them yellow. And somebody that tried them, well, they said they're a bit more cheesy than they are chocolatey. The filling really is Velveeta in all its glory. If you want to check it out, they might still be available at Compartes.com. I don't recommend these for a Valentine's Day gift, that's for sure. Well, I don't recommend this either, where an Australian man found himself in the hospital after he passed out with nine metal bands constricting his scrotum following a botched attempt to improve his performance in the boudoir. Doctors detail the cases of the rare case of penile strangulation, complete with his rescue by firefighters, in the medical journal Urology Case Reports. The 44-year-old patient was rushed to the emergency room with, count them, nine heavy-duty industrial stainless steel rings stuck around the base of his penis and scrotum for a whopping 12 hours. The unfortunate soul, who was reportedly intoxicated at the time, no surprise there, had reportedly utilized this bizarre bedding bands in a half-baked attempt to maintain his erection during sexual intercourse. Well, he reportedly passed out following the hanky-panky session, after which he awoke hours later in significant pain. Following his failed game of ring toss, the sexperimenter reported to the hospital in distress and agony. A subsequent examination revealed that his groin was swollen, tender, and bruised, whereupon doctors administered the patient intravenous anesthetics to alleviate the pain from his slinky-esque affliction. Surgeons then attempted to remove those industrial-strength rings, which measured just 4/10 of inches in diameter, using bolt cutters, but to no avail. So, left with little other recourse, they enlisted the aid of the local fire department, who arrived shortly thereafter to cut the rings off with an industrial-grade circular saw while he was under general anesthesia. Remember where these rings are located. So due to the inherent risk of performing such a delicate surgery with power tools, surgeons placed a tongue depressor between his penis and the saw to prevent any mishaps. Meanwhile, sterilizing the penis with saline solution helped mitigate the risk of a saw-induced thermal injury. While the surgery was a success, the patient did not entirely emerge from the ordeal unscathed. A procedure to look inside the bladder using a thin camera, found that the patient's urethra was irritated and swollen, and that required doctors to fit it with a catheter for 1 week. All I can say is I hope that erection was worth it. Well, from one wiener story to another, Oscar Mayer's Wienermobile is driving off into the sunset. Now, say hello to the Frankmobile. For the first time in its nearly century-long existence, the famous hot dog-shaped vehicle is now changing its name. Oscar Mayer says the new Frankmobile's name pays homage to the new recipe for its hot dogs rolling out this summer. Now, despite the change, the Frankmobile looks largely the same compared to its predecessor, other than the new decal on the vehicle's side displaying the Frankmobile name. Oscar Mayer was rather coy about whether the name change is permanent, telling CNN that it's trying out to see if it cuts the mustard with its fans, according to a company spokesperson. The brand's new recipe for hot dogs represents the first change to Oscar Mayer's Franks in 6 years. Customers will soon see refreshed packaging and taste a more balanced flavor profile and iconic beefy taste that is more delicious than ever, according to the press release. Now, while some competitors focused on having strong flavors on a few aromatics like garlic and or onion, they say our team worked to balance out these while still keeping the strong beef brothy notes throughout the dog, according to a spokesperson. Now, specific details about the new recipe weren't really revealed. The Wienermobile dates back to 1936 when Carl Mayer told his Uncle Oscar about a new advertising idea that was a literal marketing vehicle for the company. Oscar Mayer now has 6 of these 23-foot-long vehicles that travel around the U.S. to events like state fairs, grocery stores, and sporting contests to promote the brand. And, well, lucky for us, the brainstorm session to rebrand was actually recorded.
We now bring you to the Oscar Mayer headquarters, where the cameras were rolling on an important brainstorm session.
Okay, team, we are doing a major rebranding of the name Wienermobile, as it may invoke something dirty. Any suggestions?
How about the sausage party bus?
No, that has the same problem.
The Willy Wagon?
Nope.
The Tallywhacker Trolley?
Definitely not.
The Pork Sword Pickup?
The Meat Stick Monorail.
Come on, Lottie. A monorail isn't even on the road.
Oh, we're trying here, Frank.
Frank? Huh.
Frank?
And so the Wienermobile was renamed the Frankmobile to invoke less inappropriate imagery.
Hey, check out that car, Mom! It looks like someone's ding-dong.
Oscar Mayer, owned by Kraft Heinz, has often used cheeky marketing tactics to attract attention to its packaging products. Now, last year, the company sold hot dog popsicles and bologna face masks that pretty much sold out immediately. Kraft wrote down the value of its Kraft and Oscar Mayer brands in 2019 by about $15 billion because customers have shifted their preferences away from processed foods. But maybe this will be a good change to the Frankfurter instead of the Wiener. Kind of going to have to change that song, too. You know, oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Frankfurter. It just doesn't have the same ring to it. Well, do those 900 numbers still exist? Because this kind of sounds like the 2023 version of a sex chat line. A 23-year-old influencer named Karen Marjorie, she's got over 1.8 million followers on Snapchat. Well, she just started charging $1 per minute not to talk to her, but to talk to an AI version of her. It's a chatbot called Karen AI, and she's billing it as a virtual girlfriend. She says over 2,000 hours of coding went into making it sound just like her, and it even has her personality. Now, she claims it feels like talking to an actual person, and her website for it claims she's the very first influencer to do this, but she probably won't be the last, because she's already making very good money. She launched a beta version and already has got more than 1,000 paying customers. She says in the first week alone, she made over $70,000. She thinks she could eventually bring in $5 million per month. Yes. Well, wow, $5 million per month. You know, you can kind of see where this is all going, can't you?
Hey, I've been following your posts and you're really hot.
Thank you. What interests you about my content?
I like how you can take complex concepts and make them easy to understand.
That's sweet. But what do you think about the ethical implications of advanced machine learning algorithms?
Well, I'm not sure. You want to go out?
See, that's the thing. I crave intellectual stimulation and engaging conversations. Goodbye. Next.
Hi. I'm an artificial intelligence influencer.
Hello, big brain.
Want to talk about underlying philosophical themes and their impact on the human consciousness.
You had me at artificial intelligence.
You know, everybody has a little stupidity in their world, and frankly, I would like to hear about it, okay? If you've maybe got a great stupid story from your stupid world, maybe you just want to respond to one of mine. I'd like to hear about it. Let me hear from you. You can contact me easily just by email at shoutout@insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, or if you got a question or a comment about something that you've heard on the podcast or something that Pancho Guerrero has said on the podcast, or maybe you just want to tell me of some firsthand experience of some stupidity you've encountered, well, let me know. I want to hear from you. I might even use your comments on an upcoming episode. So record a message for me at podcast.insaneericlane.com and give me your feedback, okay? And by the way, if you haven't done so already, and I just can't imagine why you haven't already, follow me on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter by searching out the handle Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's the Week in Review.
Here's a summary of what's been going on during our hiatus. The House Oversight and Accountability Committee says the Biden family and its business associates created more than 20 companies and received more than $10 million from foreign nationals while Joe Biden served as vice president. Now, Biden might channel Richard Nixon, but could just switch it up a bit by giving a "I am a crook" speech. A new survey finds that most students don't have strong connections with their teachers. But based on videos you see online, they definitely connect on some pretty strong right hooks. Seriously, though, it seems like these kids these days attack teachers more than ever. These educators probably have more emergency room bills than all the fighters at your local Walmart. Firefighters in New Jersey used a rope of carpet padding to rescue a kitten that had become stranded in a sewer pipe. People felt so awful for this kitty. And other than living in New Jersey, they felt bad that he got stuck in a sewer pipe, too. This had to be an incredibly smelly situation. Not the sewer pipe, just New Jersey in general. Wide receiver Stanley Berryhill was released by the Detroit Lions about 2 weeks after he was suspended by the NFL for violating the league's gambling policy. He made a dumb decision, much like people who bet on the Lions to win. A new survey says 3 in 5 people believe they own the world's most spoiled dog. But nowadays, dogs are so spoiled, they own more clothes than their owners. These days, more people have dogs rather than kids, which would explain why they're so happy. Police in Chatham Township, New Jersey, are seeking an unusual perpetrator seen peering into homes in the area. It was a peeping goat. Forget peeping Tom. Now people have to worry about a peeping Billy. The Chatham Township Police are actively searching for the peeping goat that's been seen throughout the township, according to what the police say on Facebook. Of course, this makes the goat the biggest creep in New Jersey since Chris Christie was in office. Social media users have been left in hysterics over a viral video that showed a wild fox pooping in someone's pint of lager at a pub. Needless to say, this beer went from a lager to an amber ale. But video footage from England shows the moment when the cheeky fox squatted down over an errant pint of beer and poo-pooed directly into it. After the deed was done, the beer tasted so bad it could only be compared to Busch Light. Google has added features to its image search results intended to combat and help identify artificial intelligence-generated images and prevent them from fooling users. So, if you want to see phony pictures, you're going to have to follow Instagram models instead. A new survey says Florida roads are becoming increasingly unsafe for bicyclists. But what do you expect when 75% of the cars have New York license plates? You never want to see a cyclist get hit by a car. I mean, you fantasize about it, but you never want to see it. A Florida woman was arrested after attempting to stab a deputy multiple times with a fix-a-flat tool during her arrest. Well, where she's going, she won't need a fix-a-flat tool, but she'll definitely be handling plenty of license plates. She was arrested because she vandalized cars by keying several vehicles on the road as she rode her bicycle by them. Now they're going to lock her up and throw away the car key. Well, pickleball is coming to your local mall, replacing the shuttered Bed Bath & Beyond, Old Navy, and Saks of Fifth Avenue stores. But that's kind of odd because usually the type of people that go to the mall just want to play their fried pickles. According to the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, the number of people playing pickleball grew by 159% over 3 years to 8.9 million in 2022. In fact, pickleball is so popular mainly because it's kind of like playing tennis, but you don't need to have any talent. Philadelphia 76ers fired their head coach, Doc Rivers. Doc got canned after another lackluster postseason, but, you know, you'd think the Sixers are used to it at this point. Believe it or not, many people are actually happy for Doc, mainly because this means he no longer has to spend time in the city of Philadelphia. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman raised eyebrows with his rather choppy and sometimes borderline incoherent questioning at a recent Senate Banking Committee hearing. Of course, you know things are bad when Fetterman's speaking English but still requires a translator. Fetterman's statements were disjointed, jumbled, and incomprehensive, and President Biden commented, "I couldn't have said it better myself." Anheuser-Busch is redesigning their Bud Light and Budweiser packaging as it seeks to try to recover from a marketing fallout. But what they probably should really focus on redesigning is their beer recipe. There's been all this chatter about Bud Light over the past couple of months. It's been even more annoying than the guy that shows up to a backyard barbecue with Bud Light. Alec Baldwin has officially finished filming Rust. People weren't sure if Alec would really go through with it, but, you know, he's always been known for sticking to his guns. He's done with shooting, and he's also done with filming the movie, too. A restaurant in Philadelphia is selling a $700 hamburger, which is slightly more expensive than buying a hamburger meat in grocery stores these days. It's a Wagyu meat burger with caviar, fresh black truffle, and lobster flambéed with cognac and topped with aged Irish cheddar and drizzled with honey. It also comes with a 1 ounce pour of Louis VIII cognac, which you'll probably need to forget about this dumb decision. Speaking of Anheuser-Busch, they saw the sales of their Bud Light beer decline after 6 straight weeks. Of course, you know things are getting pretty serious when sales are almost as bad as the beer itself. During the week that began on May the 8th, U.S. retail sales decreased 28% compared with the same period of 2022. Now, 28% is a scary number to see because it also matches the president's current approval rating. A recent study revealed that the city of Seattle is the worst city in the U.S. for not cleaning up after the pooch. That's right. Meanwhile, the city of San Francisco is the worst city in the U.S. for not cleaning up after the humans. Yeah, there's nothing worse than having poop on the sidewalks of coastal cities. And after the residents are done, it's a shame when the dogs have to poop there, too. According to a new survey, a staggering 92% of all reported UFO sightings take place in the U.S., with 126,094 sightings across the states since all these record keepings started. Now, that means there's almost as many aliens as illegal aliens. America's neighbor to the north, Canada, came in second with just about 5,696 sightings during the same time period. Kind of makes sense because with Justin Trudeau as prime minister there, it's clear that there are no signs of intelligent life anywhere. An arrest has been made in the reported theft of the SUV that belonged to Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett. And you can expect this crook to face serious jail time because you can't do anything to a quarterback without getting severely penalized. A Steelers playbook in the vehicle has also been recovered. But based on the Steelers' offense last season, that was the least valuable thing in the Pickett SUV. Petco employees in Maine were asked to clip an unusual customer's nails when a woman brought in a wild raccoon into the store to get its nails clipped. No word on why he needed a pedicure, but knowing the coon, he was probably looking a bit trashy. Former Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse will take over for Doc Rivers in Philadelphia after he was fired, and the organization welcomed him to Philly with a care package consisting of a bottle of wine, chocolates, and a bulletproof vest. Nurse, by the way, used to be a raptor, but now he'll be dealing with a much way scarier creature on the streets of Philly. A new website just launched. It features all of the roughly 10,000 pictures from Hunter Biden's laptop. And, well, here's the most amazing part. At least 3 of the photos, Hunter is actually wearing pants. Now, some of the photos are so obscene, there's even talk Hunter might be considered presidential material. According to a new survey, it takes at least 20 minutes for the average American to know if they want a second date. But now this is interesting. It only takes 20 seconds if they find out that you work in radio. Yeah. New York Times is facing ridicule after an article painted President Biden's old age in a positive light, describing the 80-year-old president as sharp, fit, and having striking stamina. Wow. I guess it turns out the Times really is fake news. Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that the New York Times really thinks this, mainly because it means that they have lower standards than a drunk guy at a bar. A Louisiana dog's 5-inch tongue has been officially certified as the longest in the world by Guinness World Records, which is incredibly fortunate because that means the dog doesn't even need to reach very far to lick its own junk. Hocus Pocus 3 is reportedly in development at Disney, and if you've ever checked out Bette Midler's Twitter account, you're going to quickly realize why she's the perfect choice to play a witch. I mean, another movie about nasty witches, that's all we need, right? So I guess now we can, what, expect a cameo appearance from the entire cast of The View? And finally, Chuck Todd announced he will be leaving NBC News' Meet the Press in September after nearly a decade as the moderator of the show. And now he plans to go to a more respectable news outlet like the National Enquirer.
You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel. I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You are able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at InsaneEricLane.com.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or
something. And now, this week's Genius Award.
And in this week's Genius Awards, a 20-year-old convicted felon in Ohio was in a humorous mood when the local police asked for help catching him. The Newark Division of Police posted on Facebook that Tanner Reinhart had a warrant out for his arrest after failing to appear at his sentencing hearing for a probation violation. However, Reinhart didn't shy away from responding to the Newark police posts from his own account. It saw laugh reactions from over 100 other users. Reinhart writes, quote, "Y'all almost had me the other day. You got to be quicker than that." Reinhart's probation violation stemmed from a charge of failing to comply with an officer. He originally had received a 1-year probation sentence from an earlier case in which he was convicted of receiving stolen property, according to the Licking County Municipal Court Clerk's Office. Reinhart did appear open to negotiating with the police he was evading, but in a later comment on their post, "What will I get if I turn myself in?" Reinhart wrote, "They give me a good enough deal, I just might turn myself in." Reinhart has also previously faced charges of weapons under disability, burglary, domestic violence, and aggressive menacing, all of which were dismissed. So I guess at this point, police have not said if Reinhart was even in custody. This is just so absolutely shocking. Yeah, I mean, what the heck is a 20-year-old doing on Facebook? I mean, another day, another moron convict taunting cops on social media. Jesse could not post anything. But then again, that's really impossible for Gen Z. And then there's this. A 20-year-old driver found himself in the doghouse after he attempted to switch places with his pup when he got pulled over on suspicion of DUI in a southeastern Colorado town. Springfield Police Chief Clay Klipfel conducted a traffic stop on the driver that was going 52 in a 30-mile-per-hour zone about 11:30 at night near West 7th Avenue and Main Street in the town of Springfield. The driver attempted to switch places with his dog, which was in the passenger seat of the Dodge Challenger, a process that Klipfel watched as he walked toward the car. The suspect, who had clear signs of intoxication, according to the police, got out of the passenger side of the car and told the chief that he wasn't the one driving. When Klipfel asked whether he'd been drinking, the man tried to run away. The suspect's getaway attempt was cut short about 20 yards from the car when he was apprehended. The man and a woman who were sober that were in the back seat said the car belonged to the woman. The driver was later found to have had 2 active warrants out of Pueblo, according to the Springfield police. He was medically cleared at a hospital, then booked into the Baca County Jail for his warrants and on suspicion of driving under the influence, driving while ability impaired, driving under suspension, speeding, and resisting arrest. He really went out on a limb here, folks. This is the adult degenerate version of "the dog ate my homework." You know, there's just some things you just can't blame the dog for. This guy has to stick with just blaming the pooch for farting like the rest of us. Or how about this? A 63-year-old woman was arrested after trying to rob a New Orleans bank while clutching a walker. Your bank is being robbed. Put the money in the bag or people are going to get hurt, says a note that was given by Kathy Lynn Hamilton, allegedly given to this teller at a Chase Bank branch in the 1400 block of North Broad Street a little after 9 o'clock in the morning. A security camera captures Hamilton waiting in line while gripping a four-wheeled walking aid. The teller complied, surrendered $500 to Hamilton, who didn't make it very far, according to the complaint. The bank secretary, a security officer, escorted Mrs. Hamilton back to the branch where New Orleans Police Department officers arrested her. The FBI took Mrs. Hamilton into custody. She is from New Orleans and appeared less mobile than in her last failed bank robbery attempt in 2014 when she offered a teller a note, put the money in the bag now at a Whitney National Bank branch in St. Claude Avenue. After the teller delayed, Hamilton left and was arrested trying to ride off on a bicycle. She pled guilty to a bank robbery charge in 2015, and U.S. District Judge Ivan Lamel sentenced her to 2 years in federal prison. Lamel recommended Hamilton be evaluated while in prison for substance abuse and physical and mental health issues. Lamel revoked Hamilton's probation in 2017 for reasons that are not clear in the court records. Federal prison records show she was released again in 2018. So I guess this woman is just terrible at robbing banks, because she can't be at Bonnie Parker when she's using a walker. She just look, she should just work for the bank and steal. That way, she'd never go to prison and just get bailed out by the federal government. You know? What about this? A 26-year-old Ohio woman has been charged with desecration after she allegedly defecated on a church altar. According to the criminal complaint, Laura Minard went into the chapel at Cincinnati's Good Samaritan Hospital and defecated on the altar. She allegedly used a fabric runner on the altar to wipe herself. Minard, who lives in a Cincinnati suburb, then took a picture from the chapel and smeared feces on the altar. Minard was arrested for desecrating a place of worship and booked into the county jail on the felony count. Court filings do not reveal a motive for the alleged desecration. While bond for Minard was about set like at $2,500, it appears she was released from custody on her own recognizance. She's next scheduled to appear in Hamilton County Municipal Court. Why would she go on a church altar? Let's just hope for this woman's sake that hell has a nice ladies' room, okay? This poor woman must be a broken soul, and she's certainly not housebroken. And you got to check this one out. Police in South Carolina arrested two people, charging them with drug-related crimes after authorities discovered cocaine hidden inside a fake pregnant belly allegedly worn by one of the suspects. According to the Anderson County Sheriff's Office, its Special Investigations Division and Directed Patrol Unit were conducting a proactive patrol along I-95 when deputies pulled over Anthony Miller and Samika Mitchum. I guess it's Kamika Mitchum. Anyway, the sheriff's office said the deputies became suspicious when Miller and Mitchum gave conflicting information about Mitchum's alleged due date. So when Mitchum realized the deputies were becoming a bit more skeptical about her story, she tried to make a run for it. That resulted in drugs falling out of her rubber belly. The sheriff said on Facebook it collected over 1,500 grams of coke during that traffic stop. Miller and Mitchum are now facing charges for trafficking over 400 grams of cocaine. Both are in the Anderson County Jail with no bond. And if convicted, the duo could face up to 30 years in prison, a $200,000 fine, according to South Carolina law. What was inside her fake pregnant belly will wind up costing her a ton of money, but not nearly as much as someone with a real pregnant belly. You know, she could face up to 30 years in prison. Wouldn't have been a lot easier just to have a kid and only do 18 years of hard time. And you'll never believe this. The driver in the UK shocked fellow motorists at a gas station when he hopped out of his BMW buck naked to fill up his gas tank. I thought, I swear, the guy was naked. I got in my car and had a look. His reg plate said naked as well. He was filling up his car buttock naked, and he was casual about it. That's what one witness, Quinn Kelly, tells SWNS of the scene. Kelly said he had just finished paying at the gas station in Backup, Lancashire, when he did a double take and realized 44-year-old Stuart Gilmore was indeed completely nude, except for a pair of walking boots. Kelly then took a video of the scene. I stopped at the garage to pick up some bits, and I came out after paying, and I got a glance of him in the corner of my eye. He was behind the pillar. Kelly said he learned that Gilmore was a naturist and had been spotted multiple times wearing only his birthday suit. Kelly posted a video of Gilmore, who is from Manchester, at the gas station to social media, where hundreds of people liked the post. And Gilmore ultimately spotted himself online. Gilmore said he often rides his bike and runs errands in the nude, explaining that being naked has helped his mental health and that he's never had a bad reaction from members of the public. Where's the justice? This guy parades around town naked all the time and it's no big deal. I get naked one time in the ramen noodle aisle at Costco and get an ankle monitor. Let's just all hope that he doesn't try to shove the little hose into the gas tank. Okay, one more. A 65-year-old Massachusetts man was arrested after he was found sunbathing naked at a popular family recreational area in Marshfield. Police say that they received a call around 5 p.m. for a report of a man sunbathing naked near the Wrexham Beach parking lot. When they got there, they found a man sunbathing with his shorts around his ankles, lying down alongside a commonly used path on the bank of the South River. Police said that the path was where the man was found and is frequented by families, kids, dog walkers, and it's also used for fishing. The area was busy at the time, and police said several witnesses reported being shocked and alarmed after encountering the man by the riverbank. The man, later identified as Richard Wooshke of Mansfield, was arrested and booked on charges of open and gross lewdness and disorderly conduct at the Marshfield police station. Marshfield's police said that this isn't the first time they've dealt with Wooshke. They had previously charged him with indecent exposure and disorderly conduct after a similar incident at Library Plaza, where he was seen in front of a local business wearing only a T-shirt and socks. Now, this guy was out there sunning his manhood like a psycho, or New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers. This guy just better be careful. I mean, I know it's summer and grilling season is back, but nobody likes a burnt wiener. Hey, don't forget to rate and review the podcast with a 5-star rating. You know, these are 5-star stupidity stories I'm reading here. And if your review is stupid enough, I just might feature it on an upcoming episode. And when you rate and review the podcast, of course, you help the podcast show up in searches, and it's found easily by people that are searching for stupidity. And you can help by sharing the podcast on your social media feed so you're not stingy with your stupidity either. And if you haven't done so, click that subscribe button so you don't miss any new stupid episodes. And avoid the annoying buffering of those episodes when you're in crappy cell or Wi-Fi coverage by downloading each episode as well. I also recommend using Podcast Addict. It's a great app for optimum podcast performance. And it's free at your app store. And they've also got two types of paid versions as well. You get this as well as the weekend feed of stupidity every week. Our weekend episode features Pancho Guerrero, my insane Florida nephew, who I got to see after getting back from Ireland and Scotland. And Pancho also answers your questions with his sage wisdom. You can ask Pancho about anything. Test your skill against Pancho when we have our insane game show. And if you download Telegram Messenger, you can join the Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World channel. Read the articles from each episode's stupidity. You can comment on what you've read. You can share the articles with your friends. And you can post comments or suggestions about the podcast as well. Get a preview and a link to download Telegram Messenger app at t.me/InsaneEricLane. That's t.me/InsaneEricLane. The app is available free in desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And don't forget, follow me on social media using the handle at InsaneEricLane on either Facebook or Twitter or both. Or you can visit my website at InsaneEricLane.com. And this week's verbal meme for you: when children have imaginary friends, it's seen as cute. But when adults do, it's seen as a disorder. Kong, ki chong, kong, kong, ki chong, kong, 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 chong.
Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from Mr. Laugh's Comedy and Large Media, Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy Network, and the Pulse of Radio, United Stations Radio Network. Theme music, It's a Great Big Stupid World, is written and performed by Randy Stonehill. Copyright 1992, Stonehillian Music, Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available wherever you download music. The platform for the podcast is hosted by Anchor. Record your podcast as easy as talking on your phone. The editing and music library are all at your fingertips at anchor.fm. Download the app from your favorite app store.